This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
People with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's Gay School.
Oh, Chris.
The song comes on and everyone just kind of starts doing the little bobbing in their chair.
I know, it's like involuntary, it just happens.
Yeah, the bear on
it
the
is,
chair.
You know, the last two generations of Australians have an instinctive response to that song.
Totally.
I love it.
It still gives me like the warm fuzzies.
I still have the banana and pajama plushie in my room.
Oh,
it was like my first plushie. Yeah.
That's so cute.
It's so cute. But this is Gay School. It's home for news and views critical to LGBTI youth. And Maddie's going to kick off with the first article.
There's been a recent study of Chinese young people born in the 1990s through the internet giant Baidu, which is the Chinese version of Google and Wikipedia. Our 7,000 internet users born in the 1990s, their views on love, friendship, consumption, family, and employment, and 87% said that they would fully accept gay people. That's awesome.
Huzzah. Changing.
Compared to, yeah, like the 13% who said they didn't understand homosexuality.
Yeah, that is a huge majority. That is awesome.
Mm.
I'm sorry, I just forgot how to words.
That's right. You don't have a frog as a voice.
The survey also found that despite being open-minded towards gays, young people in China were still conservative and idealistic about relationships. Three quarters said they preferred to date virgins. 87% said they wanted just one relationship in their life, although 72% had already had 2 to 4.
See, I can remember when I was younger and like I guess before I started dating, like when you have like the proper long-term relationships.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, oh yeah, you know, I just want to, and this is like 16, 17. And
when you think forever.
I just want to find the person that I'm going to marry and be with for the rest of my life. And then like my first long-term relationship, I was like, oh, you know, this is the person. And like looking at it from the eyes of a 25-year-old crone, I would be in hell. I would be in my own personal purgatory if I was with my first partner.
Oh yeah, looking at the first girl I ever fell in love with, it's like, sort of a terrible human being.
Totally.
It's like, I thought that I wanted to be with her for the rest of my life, and I don't want her in the same country as me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I think back at, like, my ex, even, like, not even the first one. Let's just trawl through Dylan's vault of terrible relationships. But, like, the amount of people that I've been with, I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is the one. And I'm like, oh, okay, no, you had your head so far up your own backside, Dylan, that you couldn't see the room.
At this stage of my life, I'm saying, you know what? I'm young, I'm single, I'm just going to enjoy myself.
Totally. High five to that, Maddie. I'm on that ship.
I just say, you know, you live once, just live it out.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Next. Apparently, gay people in England are more likely to suffer health problems and have worse experience with doctors, according to a new study. Researchers found that 25% of lesbians and 31% of bisexual women reported fair or poor general health, compared to a 21% of heterosexual women. Among men, 22% of gay men and 26% of bisexual men report fair or poor general health, compared to the 20% of heterosexual men. The findings also confirm previous studies that gay men are more likely to suffer from mental health problems, particularly depression, anxiety, and substance abuse.
Well, you don't say that spending your life being told that you're going to hell would have some kind of effect on your mental health.
Mm.
Again, it's just repetition, I guess. It's a bad cultural thing. Yeah, not good.
And looking in the States at the moment, it looks like the US District Court judge today upheld constitutionality of Louisiana's ban on gay marriage. It's actually marked the first defeat for a marriage equality case since the US Supreme Court.
They won the battle, but not the war.
And Judge Martin Fieldman wrote that same-sex marriage is not a fundamental right, and those defending the ban in the case offered a credible and convincing rational basis for wanting the ban to continue.
Please note, he is 80.
Feldman also made mention of the controversial slippery slope argument that same-sex marriage could lead to such thing as incestuous and polyamorous marriages. Well, for one, they've been barking on about the slippery slope argument since divorce in the 70s, single moms.
Look at Canada and Massachusetts. They've had same-sex marriage for over 10 years. The sky hasn't fallen in yet.
Totally. The horses are not yet eating each other. How about
And they're
this?
Not marrying the people either.
Yeah, totally. How about this for an example? How about instead of saying the slippery slope, how about we start looking at ways that we can fundamentally change the world and change our own little nations and states for the better? So looking at home life. So if you can noticeably see that there is a child suffering, why don't we contact the parents and see if there is a problem at home, instead of denigrating somebody and for who they fall in love with and who they want to be with and where their sexual orientation or their gender identity lays, how about we try and promote stronger bonds so we can benefit society?
I just can't believe that people are still saying, oh, same-sex marriage is going to lead to incestuous marriage and people marrying their dogs. Can't you look at the many countries and states around the world where same-sex marriage is legal and no one is yet marrying the family pet?
Well, it's marriage equality has such a bizarre history, because I remember reading once that in the 70s where they wanted to remove... include that a husband who sexually violates his wife in marriage, that's illegal. When they wanted to make that into a crime, that you could not rape your wife in marriage while married. And people protested against that.
Yeah.
They protested against that clause. And it just seems something today that we are like, how could you even include that? Like, how could that even be a thing?
I like to think that our children, like the next generation, are going to look back at this and say, God, what took you so long?
Totally, totally. And at the same time, I'm kind of like, oh, I hope I'm gone by those days. I don't want to be included with that rabble.
Wow. Yeah, at least it'll be shown that we put up a damn good fight.
Totally. We can be there as the pioneers.
There are photos of me at Equal Love rallies, so...
They'll be in the textbooks of the near generation.
You know? I hope so.
Generation next, the history of the ages.
And speaking of same-sex marriage, just briefly, the Australian Football League has backed same-sex marriage for Australia. That's pretty awesome. The CEO of the AFL has stated for the record that his code wants to see all Australian couples to be able to get legally married.
Yeah, that was in response to Sharon Faulkner. She wrote a letter in August to the AFL questioning clarification where the organisation stood on the issue of marriage equality.
Yeah. And we know there are many, many pressing issues to the LGBTIQ community. Marriage doesn't affect that many of us. And I know that there are other things to fight for.
Mm.
But that doesn't, you know, this is still an important issue.
You know, every good news is good news. It just contributes to the greater picture for our society.
Definitely. Like, fight won't be won once same-sex marriage becomes legal. But it's a nice battle to win.
Yes. Do you know what I would love to see more of from the AFL, though? Because they do just mention same-sex attraction. Which I really would have... It would have been amazing. And look, not that this isn't an amazing achievement from the AFL. However, I think it could have been like 100% on the mark if they hadn't just included the mainstream gay and straight identities.
If they had gone
into and said that anyone who is... And not just specifically said gay, if they were like same-sex attracted and gender identity.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's still very mainstream being gay or lesbian, and if they were to use any other terminology, it might defeat some purpose, which is sad, but it's maybe they're just trying to put that little pinky toe in it first.
It's not as
just,
big a step as it could have been, exactly. But it's still a step.
It's still a good step.
Totally.
And it's 7:56, guys.
We are totally so out of time.
Always happens.
This hour just flies. But it was absolutely words.
Oh, what?
It was absolutely awesome hanging out with you on this Monday evening.
It was great having you here.
No, totally. Well, if you want to catch more of Dylan, which is me, I don't know why I just referred to myself in third person. I'll be back on Saturday night with Countercultured. I have got Adam O'Connor providing an amazing 25-minute set, and I'll have all the updates from Big Sound 2014.
And of course, Generation Next will be back same time next week, 7 p.m. on Monday. If you want to catch us during the week, look up Generation Next on Facebook. We're there.
It's awesome. See ya.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.